Welcome to the Kathy Covington Podcast, where science meets soul and strength finds meaning. I'm Kathy, and I created this podcast as a space for women who want more than just a workout. This is a place for total body health, from cellular science to spiritual alignment, from functional nutrition to emotional resilience. Here, we blend real research with real stories, honest conversations about healing, growth, and the messy, beautiful process of becoming fully embodied. You'll hear from experts, practitioners, and women just like you, each with a piece of the puzzle to help you live a stronger, clearer, happier, healthier, and more connected life. So if you're ready to go beyond the surface and into the deep, nourishing work of becoming whole, you're in the right place. Welcome to Embodied, where we explore the science of living well, mind, body, and connection. I'm Kathy Covington, founder and CEO of Mantra Pilates Studios, a strength-based Pilates movement with locations in Florida and Southern California. And today I'm sitting with Luke Milton, founder and CEO of Sanctum. And Luke, what is Sanctum? Because I've experienced it firsthand and I still find it hard to describe. It's not really a workout. It's not really a meditation. It's not a concert. It's somehow all of those things at once. And honestly, something else entirely. This morning, I took his class on the rooftop of the Mandarin Oriental in Dubai, sun just coming up over the skyline, about 20 people from all over the world, everyone with headphones on. And the music and Luke's voice just in your ear, completely immersive, but at the same time, you're completely aware of everyone around you. The class moves through phases. It starts slow, waking up the body, then it builds strength, cardio, breath, until you're really pushing. And then right when your body starts to let go, it gets really still. Your body finally stops fighting, and something underneath just opens up. By the end, nobody was rushing out. People were sweaty, smiling, hugging strangers they'd met just an hour ago. And the energy up on that rooftop this morning had just completely shifted by the end of your class. And what's interesting is I've seen that same thing happen at Mantra for years. People come in for the workout, but they stay for how it makes them feel, the connection, that sense of being a part of something bigger than themselves. What Luke has built taps into that on a whole different level. And I want to get into the science of why. What's actually happening in the body and in the mind, and where is this all going? So Luke, tell me, what exactly did you create?
Those are big questions, first of all.
Yeah, there's a lot of questions there.
A lot of questions.
A lot to talk about.
First of all, thank you for having me here. It's a real pleasure to meet so many inspiring souls at the Global Wellness Summit. And indeed, we have been moving together this morning, so we are fresh in it. And indeed, the oxytocin is running through our body.
Yes.
Collective movement. Maybe it's a good one that I start with a little bit about my why and maybe my life story, right? So if anybody listens and thinks, hey, who is Luke? Who is Sanctum? That they have a little bit of an understanding.
I would love that.
What I'm doing. So I think it brings me back to why I started. I have a background as a dancer. So I started dancing professionally from a very young age. I originally started dancing because it was my passion. It stayed my passion, but things became also quite serious when you are in a dance academy when you are 11 years old. I ended up touring around in musical theater. And my mom, she was a medium, so she was quite spiritual.
Oh, wow.
So I think back in the days that we are speaking about early 2000s and in the 90s, it was not sexy yet, right, to be spiritual. I think now we are in this whole spiritual wave where it becomes a whole hype. But she was, back in the days, quite, I wouldn't say outcast, but in a minority, practicing practices like Reiki and energy work.
That's really fascinating. And that probably back then she was just so misunderstood, where now it's like people want to know more about that and they're paying for Reiki healing. And
Exactly. She passed away when I was 21 years old. And actually, it's quite interesting that the most impactful situations in your life also help you the most, right? So before she passed away, I was a little bit embarrassed of her, right? Especially as a teenager, you are against everything your mom is doing. But after she passed away, I actually started my own spiritual journey, because I remember that she told me, look, You have something that I have. So please explore it because I know it is within you.
Wow.
And I started to dive into so many practices, and I don't call myself a big follower of one practice. I'm actually super curious, and I'm like a sponge, and I just want to explore multiple things. So I explored the power of Kundalini Yoga. I explored the power of meditation. I explored the power of Buddhism. And I did the most crazy things as well. I went into a vision quest where I had to live in the jungle for 4 days without food. I did my first Vipassana last year, which is a 10-day silent meditation. So I'm super interested by ancient practices. And the more I dive into mainly Eastern ancient practices, the more I see and feel the power of it, right? There's a certain knowledge that is within those practices. And long story short, around 5 years ago, a little bit longer because Sanctum started 5 years ago and I started creating it a few years earlier, I thought to myself, who am I? I am Luke. I live in Amsterdam. I am hugely inspired by ancient practices. I love to visit monks on top of a mountain in India, but I also like my Western life. I like to look good. I like to work on my body. I like to go to a party. I like techno music. I have an ego. I don't mind earning money as well. So how does that work? Can I live in both worlds? Can I have one leg in a more spiritual world? And can I have the other leg in our capitalistic world? We live in the Western part of the world. So I thought to myself, how about if I bring those two worlds together? And can I create a class where I bring those worlds together? Can I create a class where we combine high-intensity movement, Kundalini Yoga, techno music, but also mantras? So I really wanted to fuse the best of both worlds together. And the moment when I started to create the sequence and the moment I started to host my first classes just in Amsterdam, it was just me inviting a few friends over, I actually found out.
And that was 5 years ago that you started that.
Okay. In the middle of the lockdown.
Yeah. Wow.
So everybody, we were all locked down. It was a little bit illegal, but I just invited a few friends over in the studio because I felt we needed to move.
Yeah, I was going to say that's a time when it was really needed too.
God, yes, was really needed.
Yeah.
Back in that time. So my first focus was on the sequence because I finally had time to really put the things together that worked for me. But when we started to host the classes, I saw one thing, and that was the communal experience that was so important for people, especially in lockdown. It was like a big realization. We are a species of connection. We need to connect with each other. We need to come together. And suddenly it hit me. Because of lockdown, I looked at our society, and I saw that we live in a society with a crisis of religion. In the Western part of the world, we hardly go to church anymore. Mm-hmm. We don't know our neighbors anymore. So the community aspect is almost totally gone. And I think that is such a big miss, what we miss in our lives. I think we miss the feeling of belonging somewhere. And that was really the start where I thought, okay, yes, I got the sequence. I got the experience. We have something new there, focusing on the emotional, the physical, the energetic. But the most important overarching thing is community. We need to come together. And that is how we started to build up Sanctum. First in Amsterdam, then we opened up in London. And 6 months ago, we opened up in Dubai.
I know, it's just incredible. And I completely agree with you on the power of community and what happened with Mantra during lockdown. I remember when they told us we had to close the studios and we immediately pivoted and we went to online and we started doing online. It was good. It kept the community, I feel like, together. But at the time, I didn't know. I'm like, is the world going to shift now? And is it going to go, everything going to go online? And these, all of a sudden you're building now an online business instead of in person. But what I found was people, like exactly what you were saying, is people really crave community and they wanted to come work out. And they, even though everything was shut down and the CDC is saying you can't operate your studios and they're mandating all these different policies that we had to adhere to, at the end of the day, people wanted to come back. And it just has changed my view as well and helped me see, yes, I really do see that there is a real power in community, and people want to be together. They want to work out together. They want to socialize, and to create that space, which I see you're doing that really well, and to create that space where people can actually come in communion with each other and practice physical fitness and work on themselves is hugely important. And I feel like with our studios, with our communities, that is definitely one of the big powerful ways of the future is how do we continue to create community?
Exactly.
So I guess a big question for you is tell me how you've created your communities, because it is fascinating with the somatic sound, what you're doing and what you're going around the world. It's global and you're moving and you're...
There's a few things to it. I think one thing when I did the research about collective experiences, I started to see why we are coming together. And that's not only in a class. Think about a church mass. Think about a Coldplay concert. Think about a football game. And I started to study all those big mass events and what happens during those mass events. And they have all one thing in common. They all go through the same shared experience. So there's one big event happening and everybody is focusing on the same event. So if you all watch a soccer game, you're all focusing on that one ball, right? If you are looking at Coldplay, you all listen to the same music. And that brought me to, which is a study, I forgot the name of the professor, it will come to me, Emil Durkheim. Actually, in the beginning of the 1900s, he created the concept collective effervescence. And that is exactly that. That is a moment where you come together in a big mass, and it's a feeling that you lose yourself inside of that mass. And that is called collective effervescence. And apparently, that moment, you lose your ego a little bit, and you remember that you are a part of something bigger. And that is that feeling of belonging. So I think that was one of the ingredients that I wanted to incorporate in Sanctum. And that is, I think, personally, why the Sanctum experience works so well. Yes, we come together, but it's not like an ecstatic dance where you all move freely, which is a great concept. I think for Sanctum, I wanted to create that collective effervescence. And it means that with all the elements that we have included, I wanted to have everything in sync, everything at the same moment. And that's why we dive into the power of repetition. We all do the same moves at the same time. The beat of the music is leading the way, and we even use the voice. So it's certain moments, as you experienced this morning in class, you all scream ha at the same time.
And that's the hatha. Is that hatha yoga that you put in, or the kundalini?
So actually, there are multiple practices that are using the voice. In kundalini yoga and yoga itself, every chakra has a sound, and the sound of the heart is ha. But also in certain martial art forms, they also use the mantra of ha. So I'm getting quite inspired by how those multiple methods actually, what do they have in common? And I try to observe that to say, hey, actually, kundalini yoga has quite some elements of qigong as well. And what are the things that are in sync with each other? But to come back to your question about community, so I think to move in sync is a super, super important part, right? To be together at the same time. Next to that is what I have been seeing in sports studios, and maybe you have seen it yourself, but maybe in the States it's a little bit different, is that if you go to a cycle studio, if I go to a cycle studio in Amsterdam, I see people walking in, they don't say hi to anybody, they're on their phone, they put their stuff in a locker, they go to the bike, they grab their stuff and they go. So there's still no belonging in those studios. There's still, I struggle sometimes to feel community there. So
there's no interaction.
There's no interaction.
Yeah, between the clients.
And what we see at Sanctum is that after the class, you saw it also this morning, people stay. People want to share their experience with each other. They want to give each other a hug.
And you inspire, I feel like you really inspire that in your classes. Like what you're saying of bring people together, you have them doing the same thing at the same time, experiencing the same music, the same rhythms, their body movements, although they can be a little bit independent because you really encourage that freedom of expression, the freedom of self.
Exactly.
It's like you're diving in deep and going within, but with all of your friends. And almost by the end of class, it feels like they're kind of becoming like your best friends. Like everyone I've come to of your classes, I end up leaving and meeting somebody new.
Exactly.
Who I'm really interested in. They're just like-minded Exactly. It's a like-minded community, what you've created.
And I think the power of that, the funny thing is I created Sanctum Wine from an intuitive part of myself. And I'm now
From your mom.
Yeah, and I'm now starting to back it up with data, right? I think one thing, it's again, the shared experience. And I think one thing in Sanctum, which I hopefully you experienced that, is the storytelling, right? So yes, we have the movements, but you wear headphones. I'm literally inside of your ear. We have the best microphones. I can whisper in your ear. Every class has a theme. And I think through the storytelling, we really get to your heart, right? Because the storytelling, it's almost like a movie, right? It has a start, it has a middle, it has a key message.
I think you broke it down into three.
Exactly.
Sections, three chapters.
Yes,
right.
So you bring the energy up. Then whilst you're in exhaustion, which is basically the philosophy of Osho, right? The dynamic meditation. Whilst you're in your full exhaustion, we go to your heart, we make a connection, and afterwards we bring the energy up. So we do that through movement, but mainly through storytelling as well. And I think that is the key message and element of Sanctum, why you feel so rejuvenated afterwards, because you felt something. It's about the emotions. You use your body, but because you are so tired and exhausted because of all the moves, you actually open up your heart. And that is, I think, that experience, that shared experience, where you feel like, oh my God, I have a tear in my eye, or I feel my heart, or I feel emotions.
Yeah.
And that is, I think, what we need at this moment of the world. We need to feel again and express ourselves again.
For sure. No, I feel like that's exactly right. Tying into the physical fitness, which I've found at Mantra and in the past was a lot of workouts or even Pilates based, that it became so physical and they only focus on the physical. It's like, how do I look? Are my abs sculpted? Are my legs long enough? Or do my muscles look defined? And those are all wonderful things, but there's so much more. And I love that in your class this morning, you point that out, but you talked about the physical, the spiritual, but also the energetic body. And so you've combined all those things beautifully. And I think the world needs more of that.
Hopefully soon in the States, that will be amazing.
Yeah, I would love to see more of that in the States. But yeah, I also can relate to community and collaboration and just in our space of fitness. And yours is innovative in the sense that it is innovative. You're bringing in all of these modalities into one workout, and then you're combining that and making it into this beautiful community of people that are coming together and forming these new friendships and sharing their energies. And I feel like the world needs more of that also in business, amongst other studio owners, amongst other founders, CEOs. And we're not competing against each other, but we're actually here to enhance each other's lives and support and lift each other up. And I think that for Mantra in particular, as we see the market in the US, especially in my space and Pilates, as it becomes more and more saturated with more studio owners, looking at that is opportunity for growth of everyone, because we can all lift each other up.
Exactly. So how do you see the future of Pilates and reformer Pilates? Because there's a huge hype around it as well. I'm really curious how you see the future of it.
So I think Pilates is here to stay. I've always thought Pilates was here to stay. Since the holistic principles of Pilates are there, which is a lot of breath, extreme amount of breath, core, concentration, all of these things are fundamental parts of fitness. And what I feel like over time we've lost with all the different types of Pilates coming into the world and different styles of Pilates, it's gotten lost a little bit into the physical. And I want to pull it back, and exactly what you're doing with your classes, which I completely respect and honor, is bringing it back into self and really getting in touch with our breath, with our inner self, getting in touch with who we are, because it really is a meditation at the end of the day. And it's a time then we can come in together in community and meditate. You leave your phone at the door and now all of a sudden you're just there and you're focusing on yourself. So to answer your question, I think Pilates is here to stay. I think it's a wonderful workout. I think it's trending heavy right now. Everyone, I think that's TikTok and all the social media platforms that have gotten out there.
Preferred Pilates and often see.
Yeah.
But I like your explanation about it, right? Because it's so much more than that.
Yeah. It's so much more than just the trendy workout. And so I feel like what's happening is it's getting a little bit lost right now, and bringing people, I really want our community, and I'm trying to lead my team in that. Love, there we can't just focus on this physical aspect. It's we want that. We want beauty is important, Actually, I'm talking to a physician from University of Pennsylvania who studies neuroaesthetics. Mm-hmm. The neuroaesthetics, sound, beauty, what we see is all important, but it's important in a vast array of ways that our mind can connect to beauty, right? And beauty can look very different for very many different people. But yeah, Pilates it's an amazing workout. It's wonderful for the body, the stretching, the breath work, but you have to really focus on how you teach and train, which you're doing with Sanctum. I'm so impressed by how you do it. Still needs to be really, I feel like there's a lot to focus on that. And then there's trainers that are trained and are teaching after training for 1 weekend or 2 weekends that really don't understand the body quite yet. So I feel like we have a lot of room and for growth and how we teach the body and how we use it and how we deal with clients. And there's just a lot. Okay. There's a lot to do, but I feel like it's a very sustainable workout that's wonderful.
I think
for men and women.
In general, the funny thing as a side note, I used to be a reformer Pilates teacher.
You did.
In my previous life.
Okay.
But the interesting thing, what I start to see now is I've been focusing heavily on the Sanctum Academy, right? So we are now operating in 4 markets. So we call our instructors guides. So we have 30 guides right now. So for me, it has been like a huge focus on how to train.
Yes.
And one thing I learned, and I think that is for every teacher out there, is what makes a good trainer? What makes a good teacher? What makes a good Sanctum guide? I call it in the academy, I say there are actually two big parts of being a teacher. The first one is I call it your driver license. You just need to know everything about the sequence, about your body, about the music, about the timing. It's almost like learning driving a car, right? You need to look in your mirrors. You need to know what this is. You need to really understand every single ingredient of the physical experience. Yeah. So that is in a reformer studio, also the machine and everything. And that takes a while, right? So your first year, you focus on
just learning
driving your car.
Like
there is no time to look around in the traffic yet. No, you're just focusing on your car. But I think, and that's, I think for all teachers, in my opinion, that is the base. Once you know how to drive your car, no matter if that's a Sanctum sequence or a Pilates class, then the interesting part starts to happen. Because then you can hold space. Then you can focus on storytelling. Then you can focus on reading a room. What does this room need? Every room needs something different. So I really try to put in the academy those two things. And both are equally important. You cannot hold a space if you don't know how to explain a move. You cannot hold or tell a story if the execution of the move is not right. So I think those two are super, super important in, I think, any class.
So your academy, so you've created your own training program for Sanctum trainers. Yeah. And that's when you're referring to your academy. And that getting down, and that's with any workout or any sort of training program, really understanding the principles first, right?
Exactly.
That you can know what you're teaching or know the basics, just like you study a biology book, right? But then to apply the biology practice is very different, but learning that underlying application. So tell me more about that training program, like how you've created it.
Yeah, our training program is an internal program. So we only host it for talents in which we see potential. So it's not that everybody can just join the Sanctum Academy. It's our quite intimate academies, between 4 and 8 people per academy. And we host an academy nowadays almost every month in every single market. And it is an intensive. So we host it for talents who already have experience. I think that is an important one, right? So you need to know the basics. You need to, especially for Sanctum, you need to know how to count.
So is it a combination of online? And
so we have a hybrid model.
A hybrid model.
I started a hybrid.
So someone in the United States, for example, which you're going to grow into the US too, you're growing everywhere because you can't not grow with what you're doing. How do you train for your growth?
Yeah. So we are growing super fast. So until 6 months ago, I was hosting all the academies myself and it was just me offline. Right. I had created, of course, a whole script and I knew exactly we have workshops and there's a lot of execution, a lot of demos, a lot of feedback on the go. I think it's really important to just do as well next to all the theory. But since we are growing so fast, I finally hired a head of content and talent. Her name is Kaya, and she is really taking over all the academies and all the trainings and also the guide management, because we already have 30 guides and we want to manage them well. So the moment I hired her, and she's doing amazing, I love her, we were also thinking, but the story of me and the soul of me is so important as well. So how are we going to do that?
Yeah, the soul of
exactly.
you being the founder.
Yeah, you have
your baby. It's your creation.
It's your baby.
Yeah.
It's me. It's my story. Right?
Yeah, and, it's your story.
So we started to create a hybrid model. So the most important working sessions and theories, I recorded a video. So we have a special application for our guides in the academy. So they have offline sessions. And connected to every offline session, there is a digital masterclass. So in that way, they have endless studio time where they just have to do, there's feedback on the go, there's personal attention. And next to that, they have a digital time with me where I'm going to bring them to the whole Sanctum story, philosophy, et cetera, et cetera.
So digital live time, or is it digital?
Digital pre-recorded.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which is the wonderful way to,
exactly,
to share.
Yeah. So we really see that combination works, right? So they get the information from the founder, and then next to that, they have the offline and live sessions where they get feedback on the go.
Okay. So tell me more about the storytelling that you do when you're in a workout. So,
yes,
which I think could be really important for trainers to relate to.
Yes. Yeah, so
clients, but
that's the hardest thing to explain, I think. And it took me years and years. I got into a moment where I lose myself when I teach. So literally when I start teaching, and it's also because of the sequence, it also helps me.
It's the presence. The energy, you're in your flow state.
And I go into a flow state.
Yeah.
And I lose myself. Oh. And I say things that I have no idea sometimes. It just comes to me.
It's like channeling.
And you can go channeling. You can go it any way. But I think the moment I reach that stage, that is the stage of truth. And I feel the more I am in that moment, in that flow state, the more magic happens. But again, you need to know your driver license, right? You need to know exactly what's going to happen in order to get into that flow state.
Yeah.
So there's that. And next to that, there are very practical elements in terms of storytelling. So storytelling, we focus a lot on during our academy. So those are things like relatability, how to use your voice, the technical elements of storytelling. And the more I dove into storytelling, the more I see what is the power of an experience. And I like to compare it to movies. So I don't see Sanctum as a class. I see Sanctum as a movie. And what happens in a movie? In a movie, for instance, take the movie, the Titanic.
It's like the tri-stomach.
Yeah. Think about the Titanic. I always cry when I watch the Titanic. So the moment that where Jack falls into the water, he dies, and Rose is crying, I cry as well. But why am I crying at that moment of the movie? It's because they first had a lot of fun. They had connection. Mm-hmm. They had love. They made love. So I think the combination of multiple emotions into an experience creates that you are touched. And that is what we do at Sanctum as well. We build the energy up in the beginning. There's some cheekiness. There's some fun. And the moment we went through all those emotions, we can go into the more sensitive emotions.
Start stepping into the heart.
Exactly. So I see Sanctum as a movie. You first need the whole build up of the story. You need to understand the main character, which is you. You need to go through all the emotions, and then you can go to the climax of your experience. So I really try to go back to storytelling to really see it as a movie almost.
Yeah, I noticed that today with, and I think your story, oh, at the very end, toward, as we brought it down at the end of class, you were referring to the book, The Alchemist.
Yeah.
And then you start reading about the
message of it.
Yeah. The message of The Alchemist, yeah, which yeah, is, I yeah. think is a beautiful thing too, because you're just almost sealing in this experience.
Exactly.
So tell me more about the closing.
So at Sanctum, because we wanted to scale it up, right? So Sanctum is not about just Luke showing up and creating some magic. I needed to understand the formula of Sanctum, because only when I have the formula, we can scale it up. So in terms of Sanctum, we have three touch points. We have the start of the story, which is really important. What is your theme? And what is your hook? What is your angle? We have the climax of the story, which you find in the middle of the class. And we have the closing. And that is your key message. So in every Sanctum class, you have a theme. The theme is different every single week, but we have a global theme per week. And every guide puts in their own story. So for us, it's really important that we have those three elements in the class, so the guides know exactly, hey, what is storytelling? And when do I say what? But then the most important part is my story is not somebody else's story. So I don't train guides to speak about my story. I think an important part of that storytelling is that every guide at Sanctum is sharing their own story and their own philosophy or their own personal twist around a certain theme.
And then, okay, so another aspect of Sanctum too, because I did the first in the Almahara Desert on when we first arrived that night. And using the power of nature in these experiences, you guys seem to be doing that really well too. And going back to the Almahara Desert, which was a beautiful evening, and you're doing this workout, the sequence, but we're doing it in this amazing place across the world from where I live, close to where you live, which was really powerful. And the same thing this morning in Dubai at the Mandarin up top by the pool, watching the sun come up. Tell me about how you curate and choose the places to host your events and classes.
Yeah, that is a great question. I think that every single aspect of an experience matters, right? So that is what the sound, the location as well. And if I go to sport classes, nowadays it's changing a little bit. It can be often happening in the most awful rooms with the most awful light. It was like, wow, can we do this differently? So when we started Sanctum, we thought to ourselves, can we disrupt the market a little bit? And that's why we started hosting classes in Amsterdam, where we started. It was our first market. And we started hosting it in churches. So we still do that in London and Amsterdam. So we host it in churches, in art galleries, and those are our regular classes, our weekly classes. On a business side, we have an asset-light model. We don't own studios. But on a concept side, we host it on the most unique venues. So you see us as rooftops in the ruins of Rome. We did it on a glacier in Switzerland. And we really start to see and more the power of hosting it at unique locations.
Yeah, I get goosebumps when you talk about that because there's so many beautiful, amazing places in the world.
And we need to connect nature again.
You're creating this connection with self and with nature and with music and the somatic experience. I'm like, I'm talking about it.
Yeah. So that is for us really important that on our daily classes model, we already host it at really unique locations in Amsterdam, London, and Dubai. But for those specials, indeed, you can find us in a desert. You can find us anywhere at a unique venue. And we really see the added value of incorporating nature to the sequence as well.
And you mentioned art museums.
Yes. Yes. So it's my dream to go to the Louvre in Abu Dhabi. So fingers crossed.
Are you making that happen?
We are doing our best.
Okay.
But there's so many amazing venues. And actually what we have seen in the past and now as well is that so many venues and companies are welcoming the idea of incorporating the Sanctum experiences with their venues. So I'm really grateful for that.
That's nice too, because with the Sanctum experience, you have a headset on. So you're moving, which is interesting in class this morning. We're moving and we're moving in sequence and we're moving in community. However, it's not disruptive at all.
You don't make sound.
We don't make sound unless you're queuing to make sound. Other than that, it's a really peaceful way to go out into a big space.
There's no big speakers. No. Exactly.
Yeah, that's fascinating. So I hope you do get to do it at the Louvre in Abu Dhabi.
You will be the first one to know.
I would love to come. You mentioned too, maybe coming to the US and, doing some of your classes and places all around.
Exactly.
So maybe California, you'll come to California.
I would love that. So I think the coming year, I would love to host events in the US and hopefully we're going to open up also a US market. In the meantime, in January, I can share that already with you, we are going to launch our digital platform. Okay. So that's going to be a full immersive experience on our own created Sanctum app. So you can join experiences between 5 minutes and 45 minutes. So you can join our signature sequence, which we film at unique venues in a very unique way.
When someone comes on to one of your online classes, will they wear a headset as well just to feel?
Yeah, so we advise them to wear a headset. The next stage would be that we will create our own headset for the digital platform, but that's going to be a later stage. So the first stage is launching the app itself and the experiences itself. And one of the offerings, which I'm really excited about, is that we're also creating immersive hikes. So you can take yourself outside through the digital platform. So my voice only for the outside experience. So we take you off your screen, we'll lead you. So I tell you, please walk outside and I will
that is so cool.
Give you instructions when to move and when to stop. So that's our first stage. And my dream is that we're going to create destination walks as well in Central Park, in Hyde Park, in London. So yeah, we are really creating some unique offerings there on the digital platform.
So like walking meditations, but instead of
adding some mind for movement.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Movement exactly. Meditations exactly. That you can use exactly. Anywhere
yeah.
In the world.
Yeah.
And so that's on a digital platform. And so people can look out for that in January.
In January. We have okay. Our official launch.
Wow. So yeah. Exciting. So many neat things coming up. I'm really impressed with what you're doing, the inner work that it brings. There's a lot of depth and a lot of feeling that comes in the classes, which is not only is it an active meditation in physical, but it really dives deep into self. And I felt that exactly what you're explaining here is I felt it. What is it? Where are you? What does it look like when you walk in? How do you feel? How are the people making you feel when you come into a room? Do you feel community? Do you feel welcome? Do you feel that all you're like when you're in an art museum and that you feel moved because you see an art piece on the wall that particularly speaks to you? So for fitness, especially in brick and mortar spaces for Pilates centers in the future, I feel like it's really important focus on the aesthetic beauty and trying to create those awe experiences yes. For clients. Yes.
We see a huge wave happening right now where we want to experience more from hospitality to wellness. It's really about how do I get touched, right? Mm-hmm. Through the aesthetics, through smell, through the service, through the storytelling, whatever it is.
I think that's the way of the future is creating these environments that are experiential, that you walk in and that moves a part of you that wasn't moved before. People feel moved. They feel special. They feel at home. They feel like this is a place I feel safe. Then they can move into the sense of community and bringing that back over and over again. Creating that in studio space is a little bit more challenging because we don't have the environment of outside, the awe of nature. But we can create safety and people need that. And I think that the wave of the future for any fitness studio in a brick and mortar space is creating that feeling and that emotional connection to your clients when they walk in the door.
Yeah, I even create some of my own music.
Your own curated music in there, bringing in spirituality. We listened to Alan Watts this morning, one of my favorites on love.
Rising into love, it's falling in love. I really like the last part that he says, in madness lies sanity, which is such an interesting one, right? Opening up to the madness within yourself rather than focusing on the perfection. There's so many elements involved.
It's simple, but it's complex.
It needs attention and knowledge.
And that's going back to the basics.
Exactly. I would love to join a class at your studio at Mantra soon. So
hope you come to the US. We really want to do, I told you, we'd like to put some events together on the West Coast of Florida as well in California. We'd love to do some health and wellness events and bring like-minded people together in community. If we lift each other up, we're all going to be stronger.
Exactly.
So anyway, well,
thank you so much.
Thank you, Luke. This has been a great conversation. I've enjoyed getting to know you during my time here. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you for your time and for hosting me here.